always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Russia's latest offer of a temporary ceasefire in Ukraine may not be enough to satisfy the White House, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt.
The president has made it clear he wants to see a permanent ceasefire first.
Correspondent Natalie Brand.
Ukrainians say there is no trust in any proposals from Putin. President Trump has also signaled frustration with the Russian president.
Scott McFarlane reports the battle between Harvard and the Trump administration over $2 billion in federal grants will head to court this summer.
This is also a proxy for other universities who could be under scrutiny and in the crosshairs in the months to come. An awful lot of people will watch that hearing in federal court in July.
Chris Livesay reports on the conclave to select a new pope May 7th.
We can't clearly predict who the front runners are, what direction the church is going to take. We won't really find out until that white smoke goes up over the Sistine Chapel.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
From the WFHR WIRI newsroom, I'm Terry Barr. School district leaders across the state are trying to figure out what to do after the Trump administration cut $16 million meant for healthier meals. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced more than $1 billion in funding last year for two programs that help schools, child care centers, and food banks buy locally sourced food. Caitlin Taurinen heads the School Nutrition Association of Wisconsin. She says schools have roughly $2 per kid to spend on school lunches, and that federal money helped bridge the gap in their slim budget.
And not only is it hurting the students and the schools that are consuming this food, but it's really making a huge impact on our farmers.
Stacy Nelson is the director of food nutrition services for the Menominee School District. She says that federal money helped them move away from big box foods and give kids more nutritious options from local farmers.
Continuing to pull programs that are meant as a support to those kids isn't going to make America healthy again.
Senator Tammy Baldwin has demanded the USDA restore that funding. Leaders in the Trump administration say cutting it is curbing government waste.
Meantime, a Republican bill in the state legislature could keep appointees from continuing after their term ends. Joanne Krulets explains.
It would close a loophole that allows an appointee to continue to remain on a state board or commission until a replacement is named and confirmed by the state Senate. The issue first surfaced in 2022 when an appointee of Governor Scott Walker, Fred Prynne, remained on the Natural Resources Board for over a year after his term ended. It happened again a year later when Megan Wolf's term as Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator ended and the commission didn't nominate her successor. The Wisconsin Supreme Court later decided to allow Prynne and Wolf to remain in their positions.
I'm Terry Barr. You're listening to WFHR and WIRI News.
Bad news for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks' Damian Lillard has suffered a torn Achilles tendon in his left leg. An MRI today confirmed the injury. It happened in the first quarter of the Bucks' 129-103 loss to the Pacers in their playoff game last night in Milwaukee. Lillard, who turns 35 this summer, could be out for the next year. Head coach Doc Rivers.
That's why you have teammates and family, you know, around them. He's just such a great freaking dude, like, on a basketball level, but more important, like, as a teammate and a father and all that stuff. And, you know, no one deserves it, but golly, you just look at him. And so that's why I feel bad.
The Bucks play the Pacers in Indiana tomorrow night at 5. Milwaukee down 3-1 in that best-of-7 series. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Cardinals 7-1 to snap a 4-game losing streak. They head to Chicago next to play the White Sox tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some storms could be severe tonight with hail, gusty winds, and even a tornado. Temps fall out of the 60s tonight into the 50s tomorrow as rain wraps early but breezy with clearing. Right now it's 80.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, a conversation with Brian Kennedy, one of the candidates seeking to become the next chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is true, my house is very peculiar. Almost as peculiar as the word peculiar. That might be my least favorite word in the English language, peculiar. It's hard to say, it's weird, but it is nice because the guy that just talked me on here, who did the intro, the voice of the network, is producing the show tonight. Todd Michaels, how are you, buddy?
Peculiar is a very, it is a difficult word to say.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it has a place in modern day society.
Yeah.
You know?
You can't say that somebody's peculiar because that would be derogatory, I would think, right?
It's derogatory, but it makes you sound weird. That guy is very peculiar. Well, it's really peculiar that you said that. That's really weird.
Right.
The guy's an oddball. Just talk normally. I think we got a promo there, Todd.
Marking that down.
How are you, man? It's good to have you here. I always like working with you when the con man is out.
Yeah, he'll be back tomorrow, right? He took some time off for the draft.
Yeah, he's probably in recovery after the draft. I don't know if he went all those days, but I know he had a bunch of people coming up to stay with him. He was collecting air mattresses, hitting Goodwill for sheets, so kind of all kinds of stuff. So I don't know what is happening, but I'm sure he'll have some stories to tell about the draft.
Remind me to never have to spend the night at Conrad's place, air mattresses and used sheets.
If you have to spend the night, if either one of us have to spend the night at Conrad's house, there is either really bad weather or, you know, I don't know, maybe an intervention or Conrad's got some personal stuff he needs to get off his chest and doesn't want to do it here. I don't know. Who knows? But Todd Michaels, the great Todd Michaels, is sitting in for the K-Man tonight. Conrad will be back tomorrow. Hope he's had a great time at the draft. I'm sure he has. It looked like a really fun time.
What, they're saying 600,000 people in town?
How is that possible?
I mean, each day around 200, right? 205 the first. Blown away by that.
Yeah.
But yeah, congratulations to the city of Green Bay for pulling it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't... It's weird. I wonder what it would have been like. Like, obviously, I was in Madison doing the show, in part because of the draft.
Right.
And I wonder if there was any parking here. Like, did you guys do the show from here in the morning?
We did, actually. And before you decided to go down, I had marked off some parking spots for us on the side of the building. So we did have that. The interesting thing about it was, though, there were just random people using our parking places.
They didn't care.
No, they didn't care. They went ahead and got the tickets and whatever.
Oh, that's so Bush League. Did you go down there at all, Todd?
I did for a little bit.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it Saturday. an absolute madhouse or was it?
Not when I was there, no. Okay. No.
I saw those lines to the porta potties, like 30 deep. I'm like, you could not pay me. Now, I know friends that know friends that have houses along whatever street that is. That's a different experience. I'm sure it would have been cool to be there for the vibe or the ambiance or whatever. But man, the minute you start messing with people's kidneys and bowel habits, that's a recipe for disaster.
But only one person arrested and I think two people ejected over the entire weekend. So it wasn't like
really
more than that for a Packer game. Right.
So,
you know, I'm really impressed by that as well.
It's so funny. I understand why people went, because it's an event.
Yeah.
But it's not like there's a contest or a game. It's just calling out a name.
Yeah.
And there's that many people there. That's how great, like, and same in Detroit last year. Like, people just love the NFL. They are brilliant marketers.
Man, they had it set up. And I guess Green Bay is in second place, either tied with or either a little bit more or less than Nashville when they had it in Nashville.
Oh, far as attendance?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I think people probably just want to come here, too.
Green Bay is a bit
of a gem for the NFL. It's a smaller town. You know, I think people probably just probably wanted to be a part of that. I think it's great. So congratulations, Green Bay. And anyone who attended the draft, my joke last week was Conrad is hoping to get drafted. But actually, the Marines picked him up instead of... But I'm anxious to talk to Conrad and see how it went. Great show on the way tonight, folks. Great to have you with me. Monday is finally here. We finally get to reconvene and talk about the stuff that's important in life. Movies, comedy, TV, music. Todd Michaels' beard. Your beard is coming back, dude.
I've trimmed it now 4 times.
Have you really?
So I've kept it short.
Okay.
Yeah.
Todd shaved his beard for, what is that organization called?
St. Baldrick's.
St. Baldrick's. Yeah. Very cool thing that you did there, buddy. So, and I'm glad it's coming back gangbuster. Are you ever worried that, like, when you shave your head or your beard, it's not going to come back? All of a sudden it's like, oh, I guess that's all the hair I had for the rest of my life. And
I really wasn't too worried about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I know how much hair I have on other parts of my body and how quickly that comes back if I do a little manscaping. So
we'll be right back with more Manscaped talk here on. No, I've gone there too. And while we're on the area of that vicinity of the body, I was haphazardly putting a belt on today. Have you ever put a belt through one loop and then pulled it and the buckle comes in, hits you right in the junk? I mean, oh my, it was debilitating.
You really have to be careful when you're doing that.
It was like high school basketball all over again. I had to lay on the floor and pull my knees up to my chest and explain to my wife what happened, but everything's okay. So that's that. And hey, I had this thought too, Todd. Like I was saying before the show, like Todd does these great intros for me, like a guy with an actual wiggle room. Like, you know, you just do such a great job. Your voice sounds so cool. Is this too risque?
All right.
If I say, and now a guy with a pocket full of bad intentions, Pete Schwabba.
I think that's great.
Okay, good. We're using it.
All right.
I kind of tried it out on the air. So, I figured I'd ask for an apology. I'd apologize later rather than ask.
That's great.
I've always liked that phrase. It's ambiguous. It doesn't necessarily mean there's any nefarious intentions going on, even though there are. But a great show tonight, folks. Our guests, Zane Lamprey, the comedian. Zane was here a few months ago. This guy, all right, here is why you're going to love this interview, ladies and gentlemen. Zane will be here at 6:35. He's a comedian. He's a very funny comedian. He's also got several shows on TV that all revolve around eating and drinking. And Zane has been all over the world. He's had cocktails in various parts in Russia, Turkey, Budapest, whatever. He has been around. He has all these great shows on. He's got one show called Three Sheets, a show like called The Twisted Fork or something like that. Not the Twisted Fork. What is it? I have it right here. It's Have Fork, Will Travel. He's got a show called Chug. So he's got a lot of shows about drinking. He is coming to Wisconsin. And this guy knows his food and drink, and he's a very funny dude. And he will be here at 6:35. Very excited to talk to Zane. And then the Milwaukee Film Festival is in full swing. It opened last Thursday night. Nellie Kluz will be here. She made a film called The Dells, a documentary that I'm excited to talk to her about. She'll be here at 7:20. It'll be great to meet Nellie. This will be her first time on Nightlight. So there you go. Two great guests for some good conversation on a Monday night, the perfect way to kick off your week. I have to read a text that I got last week from Chris Casper, who texts the show fairly frequently.
Good guy, by the way, right?
Great guy. Love Chris.
Yep.
Yeah. And so last week on Friday, we had a pre-recorded show. And we used a segment that I had from a previous show with Frank Anderson, who founded the website Wisconsinology.com, which is great. Check it out if you get a chance. All fun Wisconsin stuff on there. But Chris was listening, and Frank and I were talking about how we both hate lawns. He thinks they're bad for the environment. He doesn't like the deal. And I don't like it either. I cut my grass, and that's it. I am putting no extra time into yard work. It's just not my thing. So we were having this discussion via pre-record last Friday night, and Chris texts in, "I'm totally in agreement with your guest. Lawns are the dumbest things ever. I know this was pre-recorded. I wanted to call in so badly. I had a new neighbor move into me about 5 years ago. I used to giggle my ass off watching him out there trying to de-root dandelions one by one, knowing full well that they got to his lawn from my lawn. Leaving the dandelion, Chris emphatically says, leave the dandelions alone. We deal with them for like 3 weeks a year. The bees love them. I think they're beautiful. He has stopped fighting that losing battle. I am not going to dump poison on my own lawn to prevent a beautiful flower from allowing the bees to help pollinate everything. I can't help but think that mowing the lawn is one of the biggest wastes of the precious few hours us old guys have on this shiny blue rock floating through space." He's getting very poetic here. Chris continues saying, "That's time I could spend in the pool laughing and giggling with my grandkids, smoking a pork shoulder for some delicious carnitas, taking a porch nap, taking a pool nap." A pool nap sounds dangerous. "Taking a couch nap, taking a bedroom nap. Pretty much anything other than dealing with my stupid, stupid, stupid lawn."
Wow.
Talk about hitting a nerve.
Passionate.
Yes. About napping and his hatred for lawns. Sounds like Chris has napped just about everywhere.
Program director of Civic Media. I think you've got a weekend show right there. just put a microphone in front of Chris and let him go.
Absolutely. Here was a cool thing, too. When I was in Madison, there was a Starbucks right by my hotel. And I've complained quite a bit on this show over several months now about the tip feature. I hate when they ask you to tip and they're not leaving the counter. They want you to tip and then you tip and you feel like an idiot because you got to go over and wipe off your own table to sit down. Like, not only are they not waiting on you, they're not even keeping the establishment clean.
Right.
Starbucks too. Multi-billion company. Pay your employees. Don't make them shake customers down for money. It's irritating. Well, there's a Starbucks right by my hotel where I stayed in Madison, and they click the no thank you for you before they hand you the thing to put your credit card in.
What?
Yes, and it happened. Two different employees. I went there two separate days, and they both did it. So that's obviously some kind of store policy, and it made me want to tip them.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
It was a very nice little thing. You know, and once in a while, I tip because I feel bad, but I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. I liked it. I saw a couple great movies over the weekend. We can get into that, folks. I don't know if you've seen these films, but Drop and Accountant, The Accountant 2, the new Ben Affleck film. So we'll talk about those a little bit in the next segment. And then, oh my God, I got to do the question of the night.
Yeah.
Are we ready for that?
Yeah, I think so.
Do we have that kind of clout that we can just talk about it?
Ready to go?
All right. Let's do the question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is your favorite first lady? It's National First Lady Day.
I didn't know it was.
Where else would I have gotten there? I'm almost sure it is. Hold on. I didn't write that on the sheet last night. No, I'm sorry. Saturday was National First Lady.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I thought that would make a cool question. So I saw that. That's what I do, Todd. I comb the weekends. I don't mail it in and say, well, if it happens on the weekend, I don't cover it.
Right.
I break stories here. That's what we do here at Nightlight. So that's tonight's question, folks. Who is your favorite first lady? You've got like, how many presidents have we had? 47. So you've got 47 first ladies to choose from. 46, actually.
46.
Right.
Right.
Because, President Tubby's been in there twice.
Yep.
So, okay. So you got a lot of first ladies to choose from. Let us know. Text us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the stream if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter X, whatever you want to call it, or if you're listening on the app. That's very easy to use too. If you don't have the app, shame on you. Get the Civic Media app. You get to take all of your favorite shows with you wherever you go. So we'll do some movie talk. We'll read some texts. I probably have a spooky, haunted question for Todd at some point tonight.
I'm ready
so
for
stay
that.
On your toes, buddy.
I will.
Liv Schreiber. That's who you look like. Do you,
is
you
that
get
who
that?
It is?
Yes.
Somebody else said that.
Totally. You look like really? Ray Donovan.
I don't know. I'd have to look both those up. I have no idea.
He's a badass. It's a
okay,
good.
Okay, then that's me. I'm a badass.
Todd Michaels sitting in for Conrad. Having fun here on Nightlight tonight. We're coming right back. It's Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Never knew how to be. She kissed me and said,
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Attention Badger fans, memories are made at Camp Randall, so bring your group and be part of the action this fall. Whether you're planning your team outing or just looking to get together with your crew, Badger football group experiences are your ticket to unforgettable moments and new traditions. Take advantage of discounts and exclusive game day experiences when you lock in your group tickets today. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On April 22nd, in the Wisconsin State Senate, something happened that you don't see too often. A high-profile bill passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. The Republican-controlled chamber voted 32-1 to extend Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to 12 months. Wisconsin is one of only two U.S. states that has not already extended this critical postpartum coverage. So with that kind of support, you'd expect the bill to pass, right? Well, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has repeatedly blocked this legislation from coming up for a vote. Several Republican state representatives have been speaking out on this, urging Voss to change his tune, but he has not yet budged. It's time for Voss to end this charade and allow this bill to come up for a vote. If he's opposed, he can still vote against it. But one person should not block a bill that has already been supported by the majority of his own party. Let the people vote, Mr. Speaker.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am Pete Schwabba, your loyal host for this evening's program. And riding shotgun tonight is Todd Michaels, producer of the Mino and the Mayor show here on WGBW and WISS, who also does a bunch of other stuff for Civic Media. Good to have you here, Todd.
Thanks, man.
No, really, it's fun. I look forward to these times. I mean, because you're kind of my boss, which also puts the pressure on.
Not really.
Well, you know what? You've scolded me enough so that I feel like you should be. Our question of the night, folks, is who is your favorite first lady? Saturday was National First Ladies Day. I think I have to go with Abigail Adams.
Really?
No.
I was going to say why.
I realize what? The answers will be limited, like from either, you know, Lady Bird had a film made. Eleanor Roosevelt has done a lot. Like, I know we'll go back a ways, but yeah. I don't think anyone's going back into the 1800s. But hey, your dime, your dance floor, folks. Let me know who your favorite first lady is. I kind of, when I was younger, had a crush on two first ladies, and it was Betty Ford.
Okay.
And Rosalind Carter, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And they both had issues with substance abuse.
I don't know that. Maybe that's what drew you in. You think so? You like the bad girls?
I like the hot messes or something.
At least you didn't say Barbara Bush.
Well, she seems like a fine lady. I don't have a crush on her, certainly.
She kind of always reminded me of the Quaker Oats guy. Just a little bit.
The Quaker Oats guy.
I mean, yeah, well, you know, the guy that had the Quaker Oats, she kind of had that look.
Yeah, no, I see that. I love when Saturday Night Live did the thing with, you must be proud of your son.
Yes.
And, you know, I'll say this, you know, as far as I think a lot of right-wing men have a serious crush on Mrs. Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Melania.
Yep.
Because when I was here, I got sound bites and I interviewed a lot of Trump followers here. Outside here in Green Bay about a year ago, longer than a year ago now. And a lot of them said they liked Trump so much because of his wife. They admired him for marrying what they thought was a beautiful woman and they liked the things she did. Okay. But yeah, there were adamant about that. So I think she's very popular with a segment of the voters. I think Michelle Obama certainly has done a ton of stuff with healthy lunches, and she was very out there. Hillary Clinton was like a co-president. You've got Barbara Bush, like we mentioned, Nancy Reagan.
Yeah.
I think I got to go. Overall, I'll probably just say Jackie Kennedy.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You got sympathy for her, and she was beautiful and a nice person. What about you? Where are you weighing on this?
Mine goes way back, and it really has to do more with the name, but Mary Todd.
Mary Todd Lincoln.
Would be mine right there, just because of the name.
Mary Todd.
Yep.
Mary Todd Lincoln.
And she went through
Lincoln.
A lot, right?
Oh,
I mean,
my
she
God.
Went through a lot.
You know, I should have honed up on all that, because they had some issues, didn't they, the Lincolns?
Did they?
I think so. He was a tiger in the sack. I've heard that. He wore the top hat, nothing else. Yeah. No, but like, I think she had mental health problems, and he obviously had issues going on in the country. I mean, it sounds like it was a very contentious time.
Yeah.
Maritally.
Gotcha.
Based on, if I'm remembering this correctly, but I can see that.
I knew she was not a big fan of the beard. And
really?
And I'm just making that up. I just figured
Mary Todd Michaels Lincoln.
That's right.
Well, I can see that. All right. So that's our question of the night. Chime in, folks. Be part of the show. I will read your text on the radio. That's exciting. Do we have a phone call?
We do.
Who's on the phone?
Ollie from the Northwoods is on.
Oh, Ollie. It's about time, Ollie. We haven't heard from you in a couple weeks now. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, but you have me so confused.
Uh-oh.
I thought this was going to be about good things, but I don't think that overall the way a woman looks makes her a great president's wife.
Well, I totally agree
great
with you.
First lady. I don't go for looks. I go for what they've done to help the country. So I think Rosalynn Carter was
her.
Who she was. She wasn't pretentious. She stood by Jimmy and in all his endeavors as far as Habitat for Humanity and
right.
going over to Africa and stuff. So she definitely has my vote.
That's a great choice.
What a love story there,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Those two?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Because she died.
Absolutely.
She lived to be like 99 as well,
yeah,
right? Like,
right.
No, I love her, and that's a great point. And we were just having some fun with the looks thing, Ollie. I think, you know, personally, I'm very vain, but I think it's more about what people have underneath and in their heart. Ollie,
well, I'll tell you what. When you get to be a president's wife, we'll vote for you.
Hey, I still have my fingers crossed. The right guy comes along, I will hitch my wagon to his star, believe me.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride
yeah,
over there,
right.
you know?
Thanks so much, Ollie. Have a great night.
All righty. Bye-bye.
So that's a good, I mean, that's a great call. We were just having fun, but she makes a great point. Brian in Green Bay says, reading while listening is a very effective approach. It is like a subtitle movie without pictures. I don't know if that was meant for us, Todd.
I'm not sure.
If it does, I need context, Brian. I like that, though. Are we sure? But this new clock seems like it goes by a lot faster.
It does seem
I've
to go,
one
yeah.
one text and taken one phone call. Do I yak that much?
A little bit.
Brian from Milwaukee says, Michelle Obama, hands down 100%. Yeah, she's up there. She's maybe tied for first. I like Jackie, but.
I like Michelle a
Michelle's
lot.
Phenomenal.
Smart, very bright.
Unbelievably so. That's you. Never mind. Monica from Mount Horeb says, backpack of bad intentions was a better alliteration. Pocket is just peculiar. Just kidding. She says the movie Sinners is also peculiar. Would like your impression. Got to be Michelle Obama guessing she's going to win the poll tonight. You're probably right about that, Monica, if this is any indication so far. I have not seen Sinners. Have you, Todd?
I have not. I have not.
The drop-off was only 6% from week one. People love that
wow.
movie. And it's a vampire movie. It's supposed to be great.
I've heard really good things about it.
Me too. So keep those texts coming, folks. We will read them on the radio. Coming up in just a few minutes, after Civic Media's news team keeps you informed, is our pal Zane Lamprey. He's coming to Wisconsin. We're going to hear all about it after this. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Todd Michaels riding shotgun tonight Woo. On the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
From the WFHR WIRI newsroom, I'm Terry Barr. School district leaders across the state are trying to figure out what to do after the Trump administration cut $16 million meant for healthier meals. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced more than $1 billion in funding last year for two programs that help schools, child care centers, and food banks buy locally sourced food. Caitlin Taurinen heads the School Nutrition Association of Wisconsin. She says schools have roughly $2 per kid to spend on school lunches, and that federal money helped bridge the gap in their slim budget.
And not only is it hurting the students in the schools that are consuming this food, but it's really making a huge impact on our farmers.
Stacy Nelson is the director of food nutrition services for the Menominee School District. She says that federal money helped them move away from big box foods and give kids more nutritious options from local farmers.
Continuing to pull programs that are meant as a support to those kids isn't going to make America healthy again.
Senator Tammy Baldwin has demanded the USDA restore that funding. Leaders in the Trump administration say cutting it is curbing government waste.
Meantime, a Republican bill in the state legislature could keep appointees from continuing after their term ends. Joanne Krulets explains.
It would close a loophole that allows an appointee to continue to remain on a state board or commission until a replacement is named and confirmed by the state Senate. The issue first surfaced in 2022 when an appointee of Governor Scott Walker, Fred Prynne, remained on the Natural Resources Board for over a year after his term ended. It happened again a year later when Megan Wolf's term as Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator ended and the commission didn't nominate her successor. The Wisconsin Supreme Court later decided to allow Prynne and Wolf to remain in their positions.
I'm Terry Barr. You're listening to WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Two Hollywood movers and shakers are about to get even busier as they team up for a new psychological thriller. American Hostage is a new series from MGM Plus and will star John Hamm, and Sean Ryan will executive produce. The show is set in the 70s and follows Hamm's character, who is a reporter forced to interview a hostage taker in the middle of a crisis. Hamm is currently starring in Your Friends and Neighbors, and Ryan recently executive produced and wrote The Night Agent. Pamela Anderson's recent film, The Last Showgirl, brought her critical praise and some Oscar buzz, but it did not result in a nomination. Not sure if it's a snub or not, but according to the New York Post, it motivated the Baywatch actress to retaliate by moving to Massachusetts to do theater. Anderson will star in Tennessee Williams' Camino Real this coming summer. Anderson made her Broadway debut in Chicago in 2022. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some storms could be severe tonight with hail, gusty winds, and even a tornado. Temps fall out of the 60s tonight into the 50s tomorrow as rain wraps early but breezy with clearing. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Civic Media.
love Monday nights. Literally, Todd, I sit at home on the weekends because I hate lawns. I don't know what to do with myself. I cannot wait to get back here and start yakking.
You're good at it. That's why.
I like to talk. Good to have you with me tonight, buddy. Welcome back, folks. This is Nightlight. I am Peach Wabba. Listening on the stream, PJ says, the best first lady of my generation is Michelle Obama. That's like three or four already for Michelle. Craig Anthony Knitt, also listening on the stream, says, Eleanor Roosevelt was supposed to be a heck of a pistol. Quite an influence from what I understand. Michelle Obama is probably the modern favorite. Very strong lady. All right. Keep those texts coming. We'll get to your actual texts on the phone lines. We'll get to those too in a little while. Nellie Kluse will be here at 7:20 talking about her film, The Dells, which you can see at the Milwaukee Film Festival tomorrow night and then again next week. So we'll talk to Nellie coming up right now. It's my pleasure to welcome back to Nightlight. This guy was on the show a few months ago. He is one of the hardest working men in show business. And he's also very funny. You've seen him on TV, on various TV shows, which we will talk about. And he loves to drink and eat and talk about it and be funny about it. Zane Lamprey joins us now. Hey, buddy.
How are you?
I'm well. Did I cover everything?
You left out underwear model, but we can get to that at some
Ooh.
Point.
I left that
Do
out
we
on
have
purpose.
To?
I mean, here's the thing. Would it hurt you to say, and he's handsome? You know, does that hurt?
You know what?
No one's going to get upset at it. You know what I mean? And he's That's handsome. True. Welcome, Zane Lamprey.
Okay.
That's it.
Here's what I'll say about that. First of all, you are handsome, but you have the triumvirate. You're handsome with no facial hair. You've got the soul patch and the mustache in one picture. You look dynamite. You're covering all the bases. It's a little intimidating. I'm not going to lie.
Well done. Well done, brother. I appreciate that. I don't know if that was easy for you, but it felt effortless.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Zane Lamprey, thanks for being here.
Were you and I having a conversation last time about how you thought I looked a little angry in my poster?
Oh, that kind of sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah. And so, to be honest with you, I took that to heart. I was like, you know what?
Really?
I don't get that kind of feedback. And so I was like, wait, that's true. And so I was kind of just in my poster, you know, for my stand-up shows, I just had kind of a look on my face. I was holding a beer. And I was I gotta completely change this. And so you can take credit for this. So I don't know if you've seen my new poster at ZaneLamprey.com, but it's
yes.
me smiling, holding a puppy. So take credit for that. Yeah, that's because of you, Pete.
I think I said probably you look like a badass, or that your poster or the picture was different than your stand-up, because you're like incredibly likable and funny. And maybe the energy didn't match. I don't know, but that kind of sounds familiar.
You said I look like I was mean to horses. I don't even know what that meant, but you felt pretty adamant about it.
I think you know. No, this new one is great, though. You do look like about the happiest guy in the world. So well done, and happy to be a part of your fame. Make the check out to Pete Schwabba with an S.
It's going to be a bill, but that's okay. Yeah, that's what you call it. A check, sure.
Because you had to do some work there. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I did. That's true. That's true.
It's great to have you back on the show, Zane. How are you doing? What's going on?
You know, I've been doing this tour.
Yeah.
After coming out of COVID, and I was reaching out to all the comedy clubs, you know, in early 2021. And the theaters, and none of them had any plan to open that year. And I can't, you know, I have to make my plans for shows months in advance.
Yeah.
And so because they weren't opening, I reached out to all the breweries. A lot of them I have friends at, and we decided to do my stand-up tour exclusively at breweries.
Oh,
we kind of found a pretty interesting niche. And so tonight I'm in, where am I? Loveland, Colorado. And I'm doing brewery show number 504.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, we come back to a few breweries, you know, but we've probably done at least 300 unique breweries tonight. We're at Loveland Ale Works, which is a brewery we haven't performed at yet. And it's going great. It's going great. I've done at this every – what I'll do is I'll go and do my tour. And I think an ambulance is going to drive by so you know that I'm actually outside.
We have a fire truck right outside our window, so I don't know. Maybe perfect. There's some kind of wormhole here or something. I don't know. But
it could be the same one. It might drive through to yours. We'll know. So yeah, I'll do my stand up tour. Well, thank you. Why not?
Because I'm on a register. Yeah, that's fine. Perfect time. Just, by the way, there's no cars anywhere. There's no need to turn those sirens on. Good. Well done.
Something's happening somewhere. It's okay.
And so I'll do my stand-up for a year, and I'll do 140 shows. And then I lock down that hour, and then I go record my special for Amazon Prime. So so far I've done three of those specials. Wow. And right now I'm gearing up to shoot the next one.
That is really impressive. I don't even know. I'm kind of trying to figure out where I should start here because I'm kind of fascinated by like your specials. How long does it take you? Are the specials typically like 45 minutes, Zane? And if so, how long does it take you to write that much material and rehearse it so that you're ready to do a new special?
So here's how I come out of a special. So like, let's say I record a special last year and then I'm on tour a week later. I'm doing that set, the same set that I did from the special. But then what I'm trying to do is every 2 weeks, like say my set is made up of like 10 segments, 10 bits basically.
Right.
And so I'll remove one of those. And what you're supposed to do is remove the best stuff that makes you, that gives you the incentive to work hard to replace them. And so within like, you know, 10 2-week periods, I have replaced my entire set. You don't want to do it right away. And I made the mistake one time of doing it right away, going out there with a completely new set. And it was just like, you know, that's just not how it works. You gotta repeat these and fine tune it every night. So I'll do 140 shows of the hour. And after probably 100 of them, I'm feeling really good about it. And then you get to dial in to like, you know, you'll dial into like, as you know, like the act out and the voices. You'll get comfortable enough with a bit that you'll start to really like figure out what can I do to make this more exciting. And that's kind of what the last 40 shows are for.
That's
really
cool.
And then you repeat it and do it again.
Yeah. You can check out Zane's stand-up specials on Amazon Prime. So check those out. And then maybe you'll want to go see him live. He's certainly out there. Before we get into your dates, buddy, tell me, how did you get started in stand-up, and how long have you been at this?
That's a great question. By the way, now can you hear the train?
Yes.
Where am I? Like,
I want to hear one of those.
Where's
like
the loudest place in Loveland? You know,
I want to hear one of those British sirens, like wee.
Exactly. Where is he? sorry. What was that? Ask me that question again.
How long have you been doing this? Yeah, yeah, and how did you start? And how long have you been at it?
So I'll give a roundabout answer. I just turned in my book to my publisher that I've been working on for like 3 years, which is behind the scenes stuff from my shows, my TV shows. And they've already ordered my next book before that one even comes out, which is about a guy who starts to do stand up at age 50, because that's basically what I did. I did do some like 10 years ago when I was doing one of my shows, but I never really dove into it like with both feet. And so I really did that when I turned 49.
Wow.
And so now I'm 53. I've been doing it for 4 years. I've always done comedy. I've always been a comedic host, and I've hosted things, and I've written for TV shows and stuff. So it's not like I'm coming in at a left field. But I am, I'm kind of new to the game, where it's, you know, people are like, I'll go see him because I've seen his TV shows. I don't know if he's going to be any good, but you know, everything that I do to win. And I'm very confident that my shows are crushing it. Where are you based out of?
Well, we broadcast statewide in Wisconsin. We typically air from Green Bay. So, yeah, downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing. So, yeah, so I know you're coming this way, but that's like a rocket trajectory, Zane. I mean, to even though you say you wrote, to be on that kind of a path with that pace is pretty impressive. So, yeah. So good for you, but that's insane. How many cocktails?
It is insane. Yeah.
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 My guest is Zane Lamprey. You can see him. He's coming to Wisconsin. We're going to get to that next. You can see his TV shows, Drinking Made Easy, Chug, Have Fork, Will Travel, and Three Sheets. Although earlier today, Zane, I saw it said Four Sheets. So did you add a sheet, or are you guys back and forth on what to...
No, we did. Yeah, there was a short-lived TV network called Drink TV, and they wanted to revive the Three Sheets brand, but couldn't get the name Three Sheets. So okay. We just decided let's turn it up a notch and make it Four Sheets. So
That's awesome.
We shot, I think, 6 or 8 episodes of that, and those will actually be on Amazon Prime, I think, later this month.
That's really cool. So let's talk about, we're going to get into all your TV shows, but tell us where people can see you live. We just talked about the specials. You're coming to Wisconsin. Where are you playing, and how can people get tickets?
So they can get tickets at ZaneLamprey.com.
Okay.
I will be on May 9th. It's Friday. I'll be in Milwaukee, and the brewery there is Pilot Project. I'll be at Kenosha. Now, Kenosha Comedy Club is like my one exception of the year that I do a show there, because it's a wonderful couple that owns the club, and I'll keep coming back because you guys are amazing. So that's on May 10th. And then I'm in Sheboygan at Three Sheets Brewing on May 11th, and then Madison on May 12th, and then on May 13th, Cedarburg, which
wow.
I don't know where that is.
It's north of Milwaukee. The important thing is all of those cities know how to put away their alcohol, so I think you're going to do just fine.
Yeah, I think as a state, you guys have a reputation of that.
Well, let's talk about that, because you do a lot of material based on drinking. Does it go over sure. better in states that stereotypically do drink more? I mean, Wisconsin, every year the list comes out, and Todd, you can back me up on this, of the top 20 drinking cities in America, Wisconsin has like 17 of them,
right,
and
right.
sometimes they have to combine cities, so we have like the top 40 of the top 20.
Isn't that funny? I mean,
kind of.
there's so many states that really can claim that. I don't know if that's like, is that an opinion thing, or is that based on like, is that data driven? I don't even know where those things come from.
It's,
because how could you not like throw in, New Orleans, for example, as a city, and frankly, any city. Any city that has a football team, too.
I think they event drink. We just drink.
Drink.
We drink, and we create events as we drink.
Yeah.
No, it's, I don't know what the science is behind it, but every time, you know, whether it's Forbes or Business Insider, all these polls come out, and to me personally, I haven't had a drink in 2.5 years. I think it's a little weird, but people like act like it's a vote of, it's a badge of honor somehow, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's the drinkers, right?
Yeah, and it's the easiest thing in the world to do. It's not like you're climbing a mountain, you're popping a beer and drinking it. You
well,
know?
If it's easy, Pete, I'll tell you, you're doing it wrong, okay? it's a challenge, or you know, people can turn it into one.
exactly.
Sorry. Now, by the way, now in the show we have a dog barking because I'm petting a cat. I want to kind of keep the dialogue, the picture of what's happening right now as I walk through.
Tell me,
Colorado.
Tell me when the cockfights start, and I want to put money on the.
I think it's this next intersection I'm coming to. Yeah,
okay,
the birds are next. Yeah, it's parrot fights. It's different.
Zane, we got to do a very quick thing. We'll come back, figure out what's going on there in the background, and just keep us posted.
Yes.
But let's talk about your TV shows and some
yes.
more drinking and eating, because that's what you know, my
let's
friend.
Do it.
Zane
yes,
is here.
Sir.
We'll be back really after this very short break. Don't go anywhere. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill. Complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. Our question of the night, in honor of First Lady's Day, which happened over the weekend, who is your favorite First Lady? Let me know. Send us a text message, and we'll read it on the radio, and we'll have some fun with that. I'm going to talk about some movies I saw coming up over the weekend. Right now, we have Zane Lamprey with us. He is in Colorado, and there's all kinds of stuff happening around him. He probably just stumbled onto a riot or something. I don't know. But, Zane, it's great to have you on the show. How many cocktails have you had since you were last here?
You know what? The answer is probably not an impressive amount. The number of beers probably would be.
Oh, there
since
you go.
Since I talked to you probably a year ago, and I do 140 shows, a year, and I'm having 2 to 3 beers per night. That's around 500.
That's pretty
good. I think that's a good number.
But yeah, so you drink mostly on camera. It's for the shows. I would imagine you can't keep up that pace when the cameras aren't rolling.
Well, I mean,
or maybe you can.
You know, when I was doing the show, or any of the shows I've done, it was a lot. You know what I mean? Like it was a lot. And you know, you go up and shoot at a location, and then you probably have 2 to 3 locations per day. And you can't walk in there like thinking, you know what, I'm not going to drink today because that was my job. So when I was doing the shows, yeah, that was, I think, you know, and even when I wasn't doing them, we were still out having fun. So I think there was a lot being consumed back then. But right now, you know, doing my stand-up, I have a rule that I only drink on stage, which is still funny for me in a year. Yeah.
That's great.
So I'll have, you know, 1.5 to 2.5, 3 beers during the show as I'm telling stories, you know, or doing my bits on stage. But then when I'm off, I drink enough when I'm on stage.
Okay. Last time you were here, I'm remembering you said something about Mark Cuban. I think you said you reached out to him and it was surprisingly easy to get a hold of him. And you didn't give out his email, but you said, I think if you use your imagination, he's not a hard guy to track down. And I, you know, so I'm going through my head what it could be, but he hasn't responded to me yet. But how do you, how is he an executive producer on one of your shows? And is it Drinking Made Easy? Is that the one he is part of?
Yeah, so I'll give you the story. I did a show called Three Sheets where I traveled around the world drinking, and that was on a channel called Mojo HD. Okay. And that the show was doing great, but the network was having a difficult time competing. And so after four seasons, actually after airing three seasons, we shot a fourth season, which didn't get a chance to air because they shut the network down. And I was actually kind of excited because who's heard of a channel called Mojo HD? I knew the people over at Travel Channel and some of the other Food Network, some of the, you know, Spike. I knew some of those guys were interested in picking up the show. And so I thought, hey, this is a great thing for me. I get to go and be on a bigger network. But, you know, after a few weeks, those calls never came in. I mean, the owners of the network, they didn't have to tell me what was going on, but they did keep me updated. And they're like, yeah, we don't have a buyer after about a month. And so I said, you know what? I mean, this is my inner monologue. I was like, I'm going to throw a Save Three Sheets rally because I just think people aren't aware that it's for sale. Huh. And so I had one in L.A., which was a bar crawl. We went from but marching past all the network offices so they could see, you know, us with our signs and chanting and stuff like that. And when I did it in L.A., I think about 600 people showed up.
Good Lord.
And then when I went to New York, I was on my way to the bar and the first bar we were meeting at, and I called my buddy Steve, who lived there, and he was like, you know, went ahead of us. And I called him and I said, are there people there? And he's like, yeah. I said, how many? He's like, all of them. So that, there was about 1,000 people that showed up.
Oh,
and we marched
fantastic.
Through Manhattan. And at the very last location, Steve comes running upstairs. We're at a 4-story Irish pub. And Steve came running upstairs to me. And he said, hey, Mark Cuban's downstairs. He wants to buy the show. I was like, Mark Cuban is not on our pub crawl. You know, let's be very clear. But I'll go down and I'll call BS on whoever the guy is who is saying that he's Mark Cuban. And so I went down and it was Mark Cuban.
Get
and he said,
here.
I want to buy the show. And I said, wow. Why haven't you? You can clearly afford it. He said, because they're selling like five, a bundle of five shows. I don't want those. I just want Three Sheets. And so that ended up going on to Travel Channel and Fine Living Network, whatever. And then when my contract expired, the day it expired, I reached out to Mark and said, hey, let's make a domestic version of the show called Drinking Made Easy and do it for your network, which was called HDNet at the time. Now it's called Access TV. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And so that was it. So I went out
and did
24 episodes plus a one-hour stand-up special. I was shooting the TV show during the day, and I was doing my stand-up at theaters across the country at night. It was with two tour buses. It was mayhem.
Oh, that sounds like a blast. You guys got to come to Green Bay.
It was a blast. Look, I had my girlfriend, who's now my wife. She was one of the producers and she was with us. My best friend, Steve, was with us. And then my crew, you know, they're all friends and, you know, friends, family, whatever. And we just had so much fun. It was like, you know, I got Mark Cuban to write me a check for $1 million to spend the summer on two tour buses going around the country and drinking at the coolest places and then doing stand up at night. Like it was a pretty good deal.
It's just filming your life basically. That sounds like a great, I love the concept.
It was. And then,
yeah, I was going to say, so folks, Zane Lamprey, he's coming here to Wisconsin. Check out Zane Lamprey, zanelamprey.com. You can find out where he'll be and if you want tickets. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of these other shows you're doing? I mean, you're a busy guy.
You mean the shows that I've done?
Well, yeah, you've got Have Fork Will Travel. I love that. Like, you seem really locked in on the booze and food. Hey, Zane, actually, we have to do a break in just a minute. Can we keep you for a few more minutes on the other side of the news? Last time you were walking. Are you walking again?
I sure am. You know,
dude.
By the way, that day that I was doing, I got 50,000 steps because I had three radio interviews to do, and I just kept walking. So,
and
I think I walked 19 miles.
You're not even short of breath. That's impressive. All right. Yeah. Zane's going to stick around. Here's the news. We'll be back in just a few minutes, and we will tell you all about Have Fork, Will Travel. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. As the administration prepares to mark President Trump's 100th day in office tomorrow, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt touts immigration policy.
He has restored the rule of law, enforced our immigration laws, and defended America's sovereignty.
As the Trump administration says it's pushing for a deal to end the Russia-Ukraine war, Russian President Vladimir Putin orders a three-day ceasefire starting late next week. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
Russia and Putin have been personally the target of the Trump administration for the past week. So this might be about positioning, about maneuvering, and more of a message to the United States than a peace message to the people of Ukraine.
The Vatican says cardinals will hold a conclave to elect a successor to the late Pope Francis starting May 7th. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Rome.
It's a big wild card. We can't clearly predict who the front runners are, what direction the church is going to take. We won't really find out until that white smoke goes up behind me over the Sistine Chapel.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local